Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I would be Chris.
And on this podcast, we try and class up our views on wrestling as much as we can, so we can bring you what's happened over the past week. And this week has been one of the fuller weeks thanks to a pay-per-view in the WWE called the TLC.
Tender Love and Care.
That's exactly what it's about.
Yep.
A lot of hugging matches in this one. No, it's table, ladders, and chairs. And so in this match, the whole gimmick of the pay-per-view is that every match will be a tables match, ladders match, or chairs match. And our first match is a regular match. Just a standard match.
Way to kick off the so spirit of the TLC.
They've completely
right
dropped the ball right from the get-go. But It's Zack Ryder and Dolph Ziggler for the United States Championship.
I mean, the matchup alone makes the internet just weep with glee, you know, and then the outcome, that just, I mean, I unfortunately didn't get to watch it live because, you know, I have this annoying thing called a job, but I can only imagine how insane the internet went that particular moment.
That second. For those who don't know, Zack Ryder did, in fact, defeat Dolph Ziggler and win the championship that he's been campaigning for I don't know, months now.
They've been doing that the
online petition.
The petition thing since before Survivor Series.
Yeah.
That would be the one.
So, but it's good to see Zack Ryder win, I think. But even better for me, it's good to see Ziggler lose because that means he can shed the mid-card belt and move on to where I think he's seriously ready to be in the main event scene.
Yeah, and it's a long time coming because they tested the waters with him almost a year ago exactly with the heavyweight championship between him and Edge.
Yeah.
They kind of tested him out at Royal Rumble, actually.
Royal Rumble, yeah.
You know? So I guess
almost a full year.
Yeah, I guess they saw something where he wasn't ready then, but maybe they're going to try it again this time. So,
well, I think he's, you know, improved greatly over this past year, so
yeah, definitely.
I did not buy him as a champion a year ago, but
maybe he can finally get rid of Vicky.
Yeah, Vicky, I'm ready for Vicky to go ahead and focus all her efforts on Swagger, who
God knows he needs it.
Yes. But that kicked off our TLC, and next up is the tag team match because somebody got to come back after their wellness vacation.
R-Truth?
No, we still have to wait for R-Truth.
Oh, I only give a crap about him.
Yeah, Evan Bourne's back, which means that Kofi Kingston can stop sitting in a corner twiddling his thumbs.
Evan Bourne? You mean Mr. Ziggler's little brother?
Oh, yeah, because of the new improved Dolph Ziggler, who was not new nor improved.
They could have been twins.
Oh, man. Yeah, so Air Boom comes back and defeats this other tag team that's never existed before.
I guess the Cologne family decided to, you know, just be reunited without Carlito. That would be that guy. Crazy hair. Crapper. Yeah.
I guess there's not a whole lot to talk about this match either.
They just sprung that on us last minute.
Yeah, there was no prior announcement to it.
We really didn't care.
And so for trying to bring back their tag team division, the fact that their champions were going to start wrestling again was
swing and miss, to be honest with you. And here's the thing, like, and obviously we're taping this right after Raw, and we had basically the Usos face off against
this new tag team,
and again you have Usos who basically they've established themselves as a pretty good tag team, and now they just end up losing to this random tag team that's just got pieced together last minute of two no names.
Yeah, I mean, I guess they're trying to build them as a legitimate threat by having them beat the Usos, but it's going to take time to rebuild the tag team division from the shambles that it is right now.
I'm still on the very firm standpoint that the Usos should have been champions months ago.
Yeah.
Way before Air Boom ever even got created, which I still think is the dumbest name ever. I'm sorry, Twitter, you failed. And I mean, I've been a big time supporter of Twitter for the, by and large, for the most part, but dear God, Twitter, you failed me so bad for that.
I'm sure Twitter feels sorry.
It better be.
So,
Twitter's responsible for Bieber.
But this is, again, this is a totally normal, just straight tag team match. No tables, no ladders, no chairs.
It took, what, a good half hour before we ever got any kind of interesting stipulation that had to do with the actual pay-per-view.
Yeah, the third match of the night was when we finally got a tables match, which is Randy Orton and Wade Barrett.
Wade Barrett.
And so, yeah, these guys fought. I'm still really unsure why these guys are angry at each other.
I mean, I try to watch it every week, and I still have no idea what the hell they're fighting over. Because I
don't know. It's I mean, I like both of these guys. I think they both have in-ring talent. Yeah.
And I mean, but it doesn't make sense because Randy Orton had a really, really great feud going on with Cody Rhodes, and then they just just dumped it. I mean, yeah. I understand Cody Rhodes needs to, you know,
I mean,
face someone for the title for the
see that one. That one, I really feel that Randy Orton should have gone for the title because they're wanting to re-legitimize the Intercontinental Championship as well.
True,
and throwing that on Orton for a few months would help that immensely. But they can't stand to have
that's a real cheap way of doing it, though. I mean, I understand what you're saying, and yeah, I wouldn't put it past WWE to do that to him, but.
But, I mean, you're having this feud, which is two great people in the ring, but it's, you know, stacked up against, you know, the WWE Championship, and then the Heavyweight Championship, and then the United States Championship, and then a non-title match with your other title holder.
Right.
So, I think that it would have added weight to that feud, and I think that's why the feud never took off
the way it
could and the way it should have, was because there was... They felt like there's nothing on the line. And there's nothing on the line for this one. There's
Joel, I hate it when you make grudge. Sense.
I know, right?
God, you just take all the air out of my sails.
Let me just lay down how it should be. Then you can listen. But Randy Orton won because he's the good guy. And when, you know, when there's nothing on the line, that's what always happens.
That's what happens when you have voices in your head.
Yep. Threw him through a table.
We don't have no idea. I mean, we don't know what it was about to begin with, so we don't know where it's going. So
yeah.
It was a good match. I don't have anything else to say about it.
Yeah, solid in-ring work, but, you know, this is the kind of thing where clearly this feud's not over. They fought again the next night on Raw, and so, they're just gonna keep going. Let's hope they...
Orton just loves these drawn-out feuds. Like, I know everyone loves Christian and the two of them getting together. Yeah, they had some pretty good matches, but it just went forever.
Yeah.
And I was just done with it after the second pay-per-view, let alone the third, the fourth.
Yeah.
My God.
And so, next up is the Divas. This is a long Divas match. This broke the 5-minute mark. So, I don't know the last time I've seen a Diva match go that long. Maybe SummerSlam?
I guess, yeah. I mean, again, I don't have much to say about it because it's Beth Phoenix and Kelly Kelly. It's
it's another thing where they are starting to have the bits and pieces where they could start to put together a legitimate division for the Divas. They just haven't yet. and as you know, it's a two-edged sword right now because as long as you only give them one segment a week, it's going to take forever to build any kind of feud, but, you know, then I don't want more than one segment a week because there's no feud, and so there's no reason for it to watch it, so I don't know how to fix it. You guys fix it. You're the ones that are getting paid.
Ah, there you go. That's a great mindset to have there. Be like, you know what? Not my problem.
Yeah.
You do it.
So... but yeah, Beth Phoenix won. She held on. She's held on to the belt for a while now. And so, we'll see. But again, yeah, until Karma comes back, I don't have much of a much of an investment in seeing who gets the belt. And so we finally start to get into the longer matches with Triple H on Kevin Nash.
My God, was it a long match?
This was the second longest match of the night, but it might have been the match where the least amount happened.
It was just...
It was a slow
I felt like match. It was more painful to watch than it was painful for them to go through it. It's just, Kevin Nash looks so terrible.
Yeah.
And, I mean, let's not even touch on the botched pedigree. The
pedigree?
Yes.
Oh. Yeah, it was...
How do you botch a pedigree? All you have to do is, like, fall stylistically a little bit. You have to take it. Exactly.
Pedigree is not one of the most, you know, artistically challenging finishers out there.
Get your arms hooked back like a chicken wing and fall on your face. That's all you have to do.
That's not what Kevin Nash did.
That's not what Kevin Nash did. He just flopped.
So this was a ladder match, but this was a sledgehammer ladder match, which meant a sledgehammer was hanging where the belt would usually hang, and whoever got the sledgehammer was able to use it as a weapon.
Although by the time Triple H got the sledgehammer, the match was over.
Yeah.
You know, like, Kevin Nash had already gone through a table and everything, so.
Well, it takes so long for... Both of these are big guys. They don't fly up ladders right, like the high flyers do. So it takes so long to... For either one of them to get up a ladder, that they really have to knock out the other guy, and he's got to be outside the ring dazed to have the time to set up and climb up a ladder. So yeah,
I mean, all you really need to do is get Kevin Nash on his back, and it takes so long for him to stand up, so that would do the trick right there.
Yeah, but the match is almost over by the time the hammer got introduced.
Exactly, and now they're saying, you know, that Kevin Nash is going to be out 6 weeks because of.
Face injuries
and whatever. Broken nasal passages or something like that. I don't know. But there are reports out there that are saying that was the last match for Kevin Nash. I think he said on Twitter, he says, thanks, Paul. I'm glad my last one was with someone I love or something along those lines. And to be honest with you, I mean, I can understand why he would want to go out, you know, having a match with his best friend and everything. So I get that.
Yeah.
I just don't want to see it again, to be honest with you, because it was just terrible.
This whole storyline just never
got off the ground. Yeah, I think.
It was plagued from the get go with the whole who sent the text mystery,
which, and then it just ended up being a womp womp moment. You know, oh, I sent it to myself.
Yeah, and then he was gonna fight CM Punk, but he couldn't.
Got a concussion,
and so yeah,
it prolonged it, and like we've said before, it's a feud that should have ended a month ago.
Yeah.
Because they're two big names that should have ended at Survivor Series.
And the other thing is, I can get the appeal of a Triple H versus Kevin Nash feud. That, I mean, on paper, that sounds like a great feud. If you told me that, you know, this time last year, that I was going to get to see that for 6 months, I'd be all invested in that, but...
Mm.
It struggled too much, and it was a very plagued match.
Yeah, but the fact that WWE is still giving them the 6 week timeline makes me think that they're going to try to at least convince them to make a Royal Rumble appearance. Because I'm assuming they're going to keep with the 40-man format. And they're going to just need as many people as they can. Because I don't know if they have people.
Yeah.
To cover that card.
No, last year people who were in title matches earlier in the night
had to come in.
Had to come into the 40-man lineup. So. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure they will fill that 40-man.
No, they always find quota, a way.
But
I'm pretty sure there's, you know, little people for hire that they've done. I mean, they've gone that route in the past.
Yeah. So, but we'll see about that in a month. It's going to be a long time before Rumble. This is always.
I know. It feels longer than it probably is.
Yeah, but
I love the Rumble. I know WrestleMania is supposed to be like the biggest pay-per-view every year, but. Royal Rumble is my Christmas, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I love it so much.
Yeah, I like the Rumble. Next up, we had the match that was just kind of... It was added that night.
Yeah.
Which, you know, meant that Teddy Long added it, because Teddy Long refuses to plan ahead.
Whoa, Teddy Long did not add that. If it was, it would be a tag team match. Come on, you know this. You might have set up the tag team championship match earlier that night, but I don't know.
So it was Sheamus and Jack Swagger. Again, it was a singles match for nothing.
Between two guys who weren't even feuding, because apparently Sheamus is having a kind of a feud with Jinder Mahal, which I don't understand.
Yeah.
Who has a turban now.
Yes, he does have a turban.
And an accent.
Because he wasn't exotic enough
to begin with. He wasn't exotic enough with the name or the music.
Nope.
So then they added the...
Added
the turban, added the accent. So I guess he's foreign enough for them.
Yeah. This match, it felt like watching it that they realized they were short on time. And so they were short to the point where they needed to kill time. Because it was a short match, too. It took as long for them to walk it to the ring as it did for them to actually do the match.
And it's a hard thing to fully grasp in your mind, the fact that they might have been short on time after watching that Triple H and Kevin Nash match.
Yeah. It did nothing to help Jack Swagger.
And it did nothing to help Sheamus.
Did nothing to help Sheamus. Because it was a hollow victory all around. But it took up some time, I guess. So next up is...
Speaking of hollow... Mark Henry!
Big Show defeats Mark Henry in another really short match. This was a chairs match, so we once finally get a...
In the first 2-3 minutes of the match was Big Show just throwing chairs into the ring.
They did make up for the fact that I don't like chairs as a match. I don't like a chairs match because they use chairs so much anyway.
Really, Joel? You don't like chairs?
I don't like chairs.
Not even in the beloved chair incident video.
Do not throw chairs into the ring.
I felt like that's what Big Show was doing. I felt like it was an homage to don't throw chairs into the ring.
Well, there were a lot of chairs in the ring. They did their best to make you aware of what the gimmick for this match was. But this was a short match, and...
I mean, we understand
behind
why.
The scenes, we'll let you know that this was a short match because when he was... fighting John Cena on Monday, Mark Henry tore a groin muscle, and so
he pulled it or something.
Yeah, he's in no condition to be in the ring. So there was plans for him to carry this belt all the way to WrestleMania.
And I was kind of looking forward to it because I was kind of expecting Daniel Bryan to come in and be like, you know, hold David and Goliath kind of situation.
Yeah,
but.
But that didn't they had to get the belt off of Mark Henry.
The Big Show.
Yeah, they did that thing.
But they didn't want to leave well enough alone.
No, Daniel Bryan is now officially your World Heavyweight Champion.
And once again, the internet wets itself.
Yeah, it's a good day for the internet. So, real quick, 7-second match, you know. The way all Money in the Banks have been cashed in.
Oh, yeah.
So... the thing is, right now, it's very clear that plans have drastically changed. So whatever overarching storyline has been thrown out the window, and we're on a brand new storyline. So I have no idea how long Brian's going to have the belt. There's no indication as to who he's going to be feuding with. I mean, there's a hinting that Big Show might be upset about this.
And that's what I'm expecting. That's what I'm expecting, at least through... Royal Rumble. I'm assuming Big Show is probably going to turn heel for this. And maybe they might still do the whole, you know, big bad champion guy.
Yeah.
For WrestleMania. They just changed the big bad guy. I don't think that they're going to keep the belt on Daniel Bryan to WrestleMania.
Yeah.
I don't think they believe in him enough to be a big draw. And I know that's... You know, we all hate to hear that, but it's just the truth. You know, they don't really have that much faith in Daniel Bryan just yet.
Yeah.
I'm assuming they're probably going to wait and see how this month goes until the Royal Rumble and see just how behind him the fans are.
Yeah.
And how convincing he is as a champion.
Yeah, well, I'm sure we'll hear more about it. Come SmackDown time.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, for right now, it's just that he's defeated Big Show. We'll see what comes of this. And next up is the other singles match with no gimmick for the Intercontinental Champion, Cody Rhodes and Booker T. And so this match was supposed to take place earlier in the night.
We're assuming, yeah.
Yeah. But Cody Rhodes has been attacking Booker T. all through. this pay-per-view. And so finally...
Really all throughout, like, the past couple weeks.
Yeah. Well, I assume it was to help make a convincing win for Cody Rhodes.
Right, because they're not going to, like, you know, Booker T's, he's a legend.
So yeah, he's...
They're not going to be able to really justify Cody beating Booker T cleanly.
Yeah. Booker T is getting to that point where, you know, people like Bret Hart are, that they don't ever lose anymore.
Right.
Whether it's through nefarious means or whatever, they're never going to lose a match.
They're not going to ever agree to lose.
Yeah. So Cody had to obviously, you know, resort
to... Find a way around that.
Other means. Because it was for the title, and I'm assuming they're not going to have Booker T... Shucky duck quack quack on the mic while he's wearing his title.
But Shucky Ducky.
And quack quack.
Exactly. That's all the reasoning you need.
I mean, that's a really compelling argument. But Booker T was in the ring. And
it still was a good match, even though Booker T was, you know, obviously disheveled, or however you want to say it.
Yeah, but... Yeah,
you try to go for a spin-a-rooney and apparently got vertigo or something.
And for every announcer that went in the ring this year, Booker T, by far, was the most enjoyable one.
And you know what? You know, Jerry Lawler wasn't that far behind him. You know, he was Jerry Lawler, he's still got plenty of it in him. I'll give it
yeah,
to him.
Yeah, Jerry Lawler, when he's against somebody who can work with him,
there you go,
who can help him carry the match, Jerry Lawler can look really good.
He looked fantastic against The Miz.
He looked better than he had any right to.
Oh, yeah.
That was...
And I don't think anyone, including WWE, was ready for that.
No. I was not expecting that, but then they put him against Michael Cole. We had a terrible time.
Can we just move on?
Let's move on to
too painful.
Oh man. Oh, and then our final match of the evening is the triple threat match.
What a match that
was. Which
was
easily the best match of the night.
I have to agree with you. That was
a contender for best match of the year.
Oh yeah, and to be honest with you, out of the three, I was the most impressed with Del Rio.
Yeah.
Those moments on there where he just seemed like he was on fire.
I was most impressed with Ricardo Rodriguez.
Dear
for taking
God,
an insane bump
beating.
Off the top of a ladder, out of the ring, through a table.
I'm still not convinced he's alive right now.
And he got mustard on his shirt.
That's probably the most extreme thing anyone has done with a mustard stain on them. Check the record books. It has to be somewhere.
Oh, man. It was a great match. It was three great guys who have long careers ahead of them,
mm-hmm,
at the top of their game.
And I'll have to hand it to Miz. Miz is getting better in ring.
Yeah.
I really believe so.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it doesn't hurt to have two guys in the ring that are really going to make them look good as well. You know, because that's the best thing. The best way to elevate your game is to be in the ring with fantastic athletes and fantastic wrestlers.
Yeah.
And that was the case with this.
But, I mean, this whole match was made up of great moments.
Yep.
Punk went through a table really, really solidly.
Punk got handcuffed to everything.
Punk got handcuffed to everything.
And still did the Houdini.
Yeah. The I can't reach you, but I can kick you moment. Punk is busy being handcuffed to the turnbuckle.
Mm-hmm.
And so Miz is standing just out of reach taunting him. And then Punk delivers this beautiful kick to his head. It was a great moment.
Oh yeah.
And it was a good ladder match. A lot of going up ladders, a lot of struggling. So
it was great back and forth. I mean,
this was
a perfect way to close out this pay-per-view.
It was. It's a perfect way to end the year pay-per-view wise.
Oh yeah.
And it proves that a table ladders and chairs match is a thing that's good enough to have its own pay-per-view, which is not always the case.
No, and it's interesting to see how the year began and how the year ended, because, you know, the year ended with CM Punk's, you know, standing victorious on a ladder with a belt, and he began the year, you know, basically staring at Husky Harris's butt.
Yes. In the corner during the Royal Rumble.
Exactly.
So, that's because it's been the year of Punk.
It has. It really has. And it's just... no one else deserves the whole Superstar of the Year award. Now we know that's whole the whole award thing with them is arbitrary, but it's hard to describe the kind of year that he's had.
Yeah. Basically, we'll go through the fallout of last night, or of this last Raw. It's a great moment to start out because Punk introduces himself and Zack Ryder and Daniel Bryan as these three new guys who have won the belt and who all of them are kind of like self-made stars.
Yeah, and I mean, how big of a moment is for, you know, the city of Philadelphia? Because I mean, a lot of both of those guys pretty much got their beginnings there.
Yeah,
you know, so that was a big moment for everyone at that time.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was a heartwarming moment, and they really capitalized on it well because all three of them were in the main event, and so rather than coming from backstage, they all came down through the audience, and so.
And I think that was a good touch.
Yeah, it was a nice touch.
You know, it was a good ECW nod. I felt.
Yeah, it was great. Touching on a few more things that happened at Raw. Last week we ended with Kane choke slamming John Cena,
and that was the last time we saw Cena.
Yeah, and then Cena's been because Cena, you know, you didn't notice was totally absent from TLC for the first time in who
Maybe
knows.
That's why I was really happy with the way TLC turned out. It's just I don't know. I really liked the pay per view in general, and I don't know if that has anything to do with Cena's absence or not. I know that was something that Creative decided to go with. Probably just because, you know, Kane just returned and they're obviously going to go forward with a Kane versus Cena ordeal, which I don't think has ever happened. My memory is drawing a blank right now, but I'm assuming we haven't seen Cena versus Kane before, especially not in this sense, obviously, but
yeah,
I'm looking forward to seeing it, to be honest with you.
Yeah, well, the thing is, Cena has been in, you know, pay-per-view after pay-per-view for, you know, 2+ years now. And the thing is, he hasn't always been justified in there. I don't mind Cena, like, you know, I'm sure a lot of people do. But the thing is, I do see that Cena isn't always in a naturally built feud when it's pay-per-view time, so.
But they just throw him in somewhere to sell.
He's slammed awkwardly into a ring, yeah. And so, there wasn't a need for Cena in this pay-per-view, and so it was nice to see him not there. Even as a fan of Cena, it was nice to see him not forced into the pay-per-view.
I'm pretty sure he enjoyed the night off, too. I mean, you know, everyone needs a night off every now and then.
But, he did, he came back, he spoke briefly about The Rock, because he can't handle a mic without mentioning WrestleMania.
Hey, Joel. You know he's got a match against someone at WrestleMania, right?
He got a match against somebody. I can't remember who it is.
Yeah, it's The Rock.
Is it The Rock?
Yeah, it's The Rock.
It must be The Rock. Okay.
Yeah, that's why he comes out every week. So he'll remind us.
Of course,
There you go. There you go.
But he calls out Kane.
Who doesn't show up.
Yeah, and instead Mark Henry shows up. And
him and his poor pulled wing.
And the greatest moment of the entire night. When all of Philadelphia rises up.
And declared with one triumphant voice, declaring victory over all those who oppose them with sexual chocolate.
It was the greatest crowd chant since the Wendy's chant of SummerSlam Odin.
Well, I don't know. Lady parts. Cena's got lady parts.
Yeah, Cena's chant lady parts pretty awesome. Good.
But it was no sexual chocolate.
But I mean, I wanna.
Because let's be honest, who else has fathered a hand other than the one and only sexual chocolate?
The Addams Family did.
Joel, I hate you sometimes. Why do you have to correct me? Don't correct me on the pay per view. Don't correct me in front of the children.
It's because you're wrong.
That's why you wait until dinner's over and you send them to the room.
I'm sorry.
God.
But there's two sentient hands out there.
Kids, mommy deserved that slap.
So, but the important thing is that I want to send out a personal thank you to the citizens of Philadelphia.
I second that. this is coming from a Chicago sports fan, and I usually hate you fantastic individuals for my restraint of better words.
But
in that moment, you guys made me proud, so we'll give you that.
It's nice. So Kane finally comes out.
Once again, in his Iron Man mask.
Yep. So he's gonna keep the mask within a mask.
And I don't know if he went with a different wig last week, but the wig this week just looked terrible.
Yeah.
Maybe they just didn't douse it in water the right way.
I don't know. I wasn't paying attention to Kane hair. I'm sorry.
Well, sometimes you just gotta notice the little things, Joel.
Like how many hands there are out in the world.
Like how many hands have been given birth to in entertainment.
So, Kane doesn't talk, but he pretty much makes it known who he's mad at, which is Cena, and attacks him and
smothered him.
Yeah, and Cena bled.
And so, and I can't even remember the last time that has happened.
No,
either for realsies or by accident or.
They've cut down on the bleeding a lot.
True.
Occasionally, you'll see somebody legit get cut, and
Cody Rhodes gets his face busted open by Randy Orton. The ring bell.
So you'll see a little bit of blood eventually, but yeah, I haven't seen any come out of Cena in a long time. And then he strips Cena and takes his clothes away, running away. So.
I don't know where that's going, but I'm assuming, and here's the thought that just came to me. Maybe because, yes, you know, Cena's kind of taking a darker turn as of late.
Yeah.
So maybe, I don't know, this is kind of a way to get John Cena into more of a, in touch with his dark side or something along those lines to get ready for Rock, because, I mean, the fans are not going to cheer for Cena at WrestleMania. We already know that.
It's a big question as to if, you know, if Cena is in the beginnings of a heel turn. Because I think that the Cena versus The Rock was originally going to be a passing of the torch kind of match, the way Hogan and The Rock was.
But the fans aren't having it.
No, there's no cheering against The Rock.
And I mean, and here's the dirty little secret that WWE has yet to really figure out for themselves is John Cena's already heel. He's been a heel the moment they put him up against The Rock.
Yeah.
I mean, The Rock is just a god to the WWE universe. And so
want a crowd in Miami?
Exactly. Exactly. It would just be like CM Punk and John Cena in Chicago all over again, if not worse.
And so the question is, do you acknowledge it?
And I think they're finally starting to. I mean, they finally started selling the Cena Suck shirts, which, I mean, I'm not too sure exactly how I feel about it, but, I mean, hey, maybe they are starting to realize it, I guess.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's something we'll see in the coming weeks with what they decide to do with Cena. Because they still have, you know, three and a half months before WrestleMania, and I'm sure The Rock will start making more and more frequent appearances as we get closer.
I wouldn't count on it.
At least by satellite.
At least via satellite, sure.
At least via pre-recorded messages.
Exactly.
So,
who do you, okay, and this is just random, I think we need to get into some predictions.
Some armchair booking?
First off, let's touch on these super creepy secret YouTube videos that they've been using. Who do you think this is that's coming in the 2nd of January?
The 2nd of January. We've heard a lot of things. You know, for those who have somehow not noticed, they've started flashing up YouTube addresses.
And in the past 2 weeks, they've actually been airing them.
And it's been a really big kind of like, the airing is hacking into the WWE feed.
Right.
It's not, they're trying to play it off as the WWE is not airing these videos.
Right.
It's something else.
So who do you think?
I mean,
I don't have a guess yet.
Mm-hmm.
I've listened to a lot of the thoughts out there. I've heard The Undertaker. I've heard Chris Jericho. I've heard Johnny Curtis.
Who have you heard that from?
The internet.
What was it?
Probably Johnny Curtis under a name.
What was the reasoning on that one?
I don't know. They're maybe. You know,
okay.
If you go and look at enough, you know, tweets from enough wrestlers, because every wrestler is tweeting now and tweeting kind of cryptic stuff, you can translate. Somebody looked at a bunch of Skip Sheffield tweets and, you know, picked out things that might be hints that Skip Sheffield's coming back.
I haven't even heard of that one, yeah.
So,
I mean, they did recently take him off of their roster just to repackage him.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's a lot of things. And, you know, there's nothing in there. Like, with the Undertaker packages last year, as we got closer and closer, even though it was pretty clear it was Undertaker from the get-go, as we got closer and closer, it became more and more clear that this was going to be the Undertaker.
Right, but they've been keeping this all under wraps. They haven't really given us anything except for, you know, I'm coming back to reclaim what's mine. I know the time was right when she says so, which a friend of mine talked to him on Twitter last week. He made the comment that maybe it's just because Lillian Garcia's back and she's, you know, she announces when everyone comes out, so maybe that's...
So she'll say so?
I guess. I mean, that's a very literal way to think about it, but, I mean, it's better than anything I could come up with.
Yeah.
Although, I do have another theory. I'm thinking, you know, and this is assuming that this is The Undertaker, which, in tone, sounds like it could fit.
Yeah.
So, here's what I'm thinking. Undertaker, he took all this time off, you know, whatever. And then months later, he asked his wife, if you don't know who that is Michelle McCool, if, you know, basically he asked if she could take time off, and she left the WWE, like, as soon as that happened. So, I'm thinking, this is some sort of inside joke that, oh, I have to get, you know, permission from my wife to join in with you guys on your reindeer games. I'm assuming. Probably not, but who knows?
No. My favorite theory that I've read, and not the theory I think is going to happen, but the one that's most interesting, is that it's Shane McMahon.
Really?
And that...
Really?
That he has left, and that Stephanie McMahon has been secretly inside waiting to tell him when the time is right that he can revamp WCW and, again, go head-to-head with his dad. Hmm. And that's why the feed's being hacked, quote-unquote. Is because Shane McMahon is hacking into the WWE feed and,
making his mark. Yeah, that's interesting.
One, you know, reports are that Shane is doing quite well in his own endeavors and has no real interest in coming back to do anything in WWE. But it's a cool idea because it's not necessarily a wrestler coming back. It's a wrestling company coming back. And everybody's already assuming that these videos are for the return of a specific person.
Right.
And it'd be cool if it was just something else.
The use of the internet and cryptic messages, that alone, I understand why people are pointing to Chris Jericho, because he's always been doing stuff along those lines with the whole Save Us campaign for the last time he returned. But I don't think he's going to give up. Like, I don't think he's ready to come back. I think he's really happy with doing stuff with Fozzy and touring with them.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, you know, he's at that point in his life where he deserves, you know, just go do what he wants. So yeah. I'm not sold on that theory. Although, there's one more theory that I came up with, and I know it's not going to make sense, but it kind of does in my head, in my own twisted way. Gold Dust. Even though we've seen him a couple times the past couple weeks, I think it's Gold Dust. Because if you are like me, you followed him on Twitter, and he's talking constantly about how he wants to face Cody Rhodes at WrestleMania 28 for the Intercontinental Championship, like title versus career match. And, you know, and Gold Dust is known as, you know, one of the best Intercontinental Champions of all time.
Mm-hmm.
So, maybe that's, you know, him reclaiming what used to be his and stuff. And now with the girl, whoever she is, involvement, I'm not sure exactly how that would fit. Yeah. But who knows? I mean, it's fun just to speculate.
Yeah, for me, I mean, what I really hope, you know, a lot of these, I'm going to be fine with any of them.
Oh, yeah.
But what I really hope is that it's somebody I'm going to mark out for.
Oh, yeah. Someone that when it happens, we're going to go crazy.
Yeah. My biggest fear about the whole thing is that they're going to say a name and it's going to be somebody that I've never heard of, or somebody who is, you know, being brought up from SCW that hasn't proven themselves yet. Right. Who might be a fantastic wrestler, but...
Or might be the next Sin Cara.
Yeah, just there's no reason for me to get excited about them. So I hope it is somebody from the past returning. I hope it is somebody who is worth all of this build-up.
You never know, it might be Brodus Clay, because they kind of shut up about him for a while.
They did stop talking about Brodus Clay. They kind of forgot about him.
They're always talking about how, you know, they're wanting to make his re-debut a big deal. So yeah. You never know.
Well, there have been things posted recently that a new plan is to not bring anybody up from FCW until there is a fleshed out storyline and character for them now. And that's
probably a smart...
Yeah.
You would think they would do that from the beginning.
It's probably a result of a lot of kind of new debuts falling flat.
Yeah.
Cough, Johnny Curtis, cough, cough.
And every other person that's from NXT.
Yeah.
Not named Wade Baird or Daniel Bryan.
Well, NXT was clearly a plan to spit out the Nexus storyline, and right. It did that beautifully.
And, yeah.
And nobody got invested in season two.
But now we're stuck with Otunga, Justin Gabriel, and Otunga's Wendy's Girl. Cup. And Otunga's coffee cup can stay. But Otunga... Otunga can go leave and be Mr. Jennifer Hudson.
Right now, kind of the C-level of wrestlers is really kind of jam-packed because a lot of people were brought up for one reason.
Yeah.
And now there's nothing to do with them except hang out on Superstars and see them, you know, in the background of the backstage walking with purpose sequences.
Hey, Joel.
Yes.
You know who could have been in that C level?
Who could have been in that C level?
Chris Masters.
No, Chris Masters is gone. Chris Masters is out on his own. Maybe he'll go to TNA.
I don't watch TNA, and I don't care about TNA, but I care about friggin' Chris Masters. What the crap?
Maybe you should just follow him around and try and get him to antagonize.
You know what? Maybe I will. Maybe I will.
I would watch that terrible, terrible YouTube video. Chris Masters antagonizes.
My YouTube handle would just be Chris back of Chris Masters' head.
I would watch it.
Yeah, you will.
But that's it.
Yeah,
just about.
Yeah, the holidays are coming up.
Yeah, holidays are coming up. So,
Joel, what do you have planned?
I'm going to stay at home. I'm going to curl up in a giant blanket, and I'm going to keep out from the cold, because clearly, hell has frozen over. Do you see who's WCW champion? WWE champion?
WCW?
Yeah, WWCW champion.
How many letters can we fit in there?
WCWWE champion.
I see who is all those champions.
Yes. Three champions that I'm sure WWE never wanted to have.
Well, you know what I mean?
So, yeah.
It's going to be a good holiday, you know.
Good holiday. All right. We will see you next week with our own personal awards of the year, ignoring the Slammies. So come back next week for the Classies.
Did you just come up with that just now?
Yes, I did.
Very classy.
Thank you, sir. But until next time, to all those out there, huzzah.
Double za.
All right. Stay classy.
Speaks the reflection line.